Well, what a great way to start the new year. What a great song to start the new year with. We are overcomers, hey, friends? And this year is a year of the Lord's favor. Good morning and happy new year to you guys. All the richest blessings to you and to your family for 2016. Trusting that this year is going to be a year full of victory and power, and a year that we will look back on and say, that was the year of favor, that we saw the power of God in our midst, in our community, in our family, everything touching our lives, the power of God influencing and impacting. And so this morning, I don't have anything like seriously profound for you, but what I do have is a word of encouragement for 2016. It's called Celebration Culture, just stuff that God spoke to me about towards the end of the last year. And I always enjoy preaching at the beginning of the year because somehow there's always so much promise. And God often speaks to me, and I think mainly because I get to the end of a year like last year, which was a difficult year, nose to the grindstone, a bit mundane. And I'm like, God, talk to me about next year. Talk to me. I want to know. I want some exciting stuff. Tell me what we're going to do next year, you know. And so I do some moaning and a bit of complaining to God about 2015. And like, God, this, you know, this year was like a little bit sort of mundane and boring. How can I have an exciting year that is full of life, where I don't get stuck in the mundane, I don't get kind of bogged down in the day-to-day stuff and just self-preservation, putting bread on the table, running around, being a good dad, trying to be a good father, trying to be a good husband, a good brother, a good friend, a good son, not quite getting there, but kind of do my best to you, and like, God, hey, this year, I want to smack this year out of the park, you know? And so, and after a bit of complaining, I finally get down and I say, God, speak to me. I'm open. I want to hear. What do I need to do? What changes and adjustments can I make so that I can make a sustained impact in 2016, and have a really exciting time doing it. And so, I just want to share with you the gist of what God said to me. And I'm sharing this with you to encourage you, firstly, and also because I believe that this word that God spoke to me is not just for me, but also for the church as a whole. And you'll be able to determine that a bit later. But I think a lot of the things that God spoke to me and the things that I'm feeling are also things that you guys are experiencing as well. So this is what God said to me. I'm just going to read it out to you. God said, do not look back. Do not hanker and chase after the things of this world. You won't find any life there at all. And why do you do so many things the same way that the world does them? I adopted you as my son, and I transferred you out of the kingdom, out of the world, into my kingdom, into my household. You are one of my special, prized people, a royal priesthood set apart to declare the praises of my glory to the fallen world around you, to shine your light into the darkness, and to bring salvation to the people of the world. If you become just like the people of the world, then you're no longer being salt and light to them, and they will no longer see my life and my light shine through you. This coming year of 2016, I recommission you to put your hand to the plow with a fresh anointing, a fresh passion, purpose, and commitment. Do not look back, because all my children are futuristic, and looking back will only hold you back. What's the point? There's nothing of value behind you anyway. There's nothing of value really in the world except the people of the world, who I love dearly and have commissioned you to go and bring life to. So press on to win the prize. Your crown and a glorious future is awaiting you. You're not of the world, but you are of the kingdom. So take every opportunity to celebrate that you are one of my people and no longer of the world. Consider carefully what that means to be one of my people. And celebrate and rejoice that you are so very different to the world. For once, like them, you were not a people and you had no future. But now you are one of my special, extraordinary people. Take every opportunity on every occasion along your journey this year to celebrate and rejoice and be glad over who you are, over who I have made you to be, and the amazing things that I have done and have yet to do for you. Celebrate your salvation daily. Celebrate and rejoice that your name is indelibly written in the book of life, written in heaven. You're not defined by your past or by your momentary difficulties and circumstances. Neither are you defined by your material possessions or by your achievements. But you are defined by your identity as a son, as my son, and by the eternal destiny and the glorious future that I, your heavenly dad, have spoken over you. You have much to celebrate. So rejoice and be glad. Be on your guard not to conform to the pattern of this world, but always be open to transformation by my spirit as you change and become the future. You're living in a time in the world and everything in it that can be shaken is being shaken to the very core. When you see these things ever increasing this year, do not fear nor be dismayed, but rather celebrate and rejoice that you are living in such a time as this. For I have given you a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I have given you an inheritance in the nations. The nations are becoming ripe unto harvest. I am the Lord of the harvest. And I commission you to go into the harvest fields and bring in the mighty harvest. Then the sower, the gardener, the reaper will all celebrate and rejoice together in their eternal inheritance with an everlasting joy. This word that I've declared over you is like a hammer. Pick up the hammer now and wield it. Wield it against anything that obstructs you, and it will be broken into pieces. Thus saith the Lord. And so this is what I felt God saying to me quite a lot. I see a lot of stuff there that where God is being kind. He's not clapping me, but he's saying things in a nice way so that I can understand without being condemned, what I should be doing and how I should move and position myself to become the future. So I just want to go to this last word that God gave me, this last paragraph. God said, this word I declared over you is like a hammer. Pick up the hammer now and wield it. Wield it against anything that obstructs you and it will be broken in pieces. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. Verse 28 and 29. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what is straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? And I felt God saying to me that if I expect this word that he's given me, that I've just read out, to become effective and real in my life, then I need to receive it. I need to own it. I need to believe in it. And I need to immediately begin to make the adjustment that God is mirroring to me with his help. When I do that, then I can expect it to come to pass. I can expect it to be like a hammer, to break through any walls or obstacles, to make a way for me where there is no way, and to help me to change and to become the future that he has purposed for me. That's what I believe it means to wield a word. And if I just let this word go over my head as another inspiring word, and I don't do something about it, then absolutely nothing will happen. And we, as a church, as Highway, we've received some really amazing prophetic words in 2015. We received a couple of words from Rob about being the catalyst in the whole Pinetown area, and that we are going to be the catalyst that will change a whole lot of stuff in other churches and bring life. We received a word from Michelle Haswell about the orphan spirit. There have been many. And what are we doing with these words? Because they're really important to help us to change and become the future. The prophetic word is the hammer that breaks through for us and takes us from where we are, you know, into the future. And I hope to be able to share on some of those prophetic words later on during the year with you. But the essence of this word is to take every opportunity to celebrate and to rejoice daily over what God is doing in our lives, over who we are as the people of God, over what we have as the people of God, over what God has already done for us, and what God is yet to do for us. And God is saying, rather celebrate those things than imitate and compare ourselves to the world, hankering after things of this world. For whatever it's worth, the world cannot give us a shred of life. Only Jesus can give us true life. We are already complete in Christ. The world cannot give us anything to add to our completion. If we're short of anything, if we need anything, we can go to the mercy seat. We go to Jesus and we receive all that we need because we are a people who are already complete. We don't need something else to be added to us to make us complete. And I just felt that this year, God is really emphasizing a celebration, a year of celebration, a culture of celebration for 2016. Because the rejoicing and celebration in every situation will transform us and position us to make a sustained impact this year. It'll give us the right attitude and position ourselves correctly to receive everything that God has for us in 2016. I just looked up the word celebrate. It means honor publicly, make widely known, engage in festivities. Mark a special event with joy and festivity. The word rejoice, feel great joy, be glad, take delight in, and celebrate. So we are God's special, chosen people. We are his personal, prized possession. I just want to have a look there in the Amplified Bible. I'm just going to read to you and tell you what kind of people we are. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and you have received mercy. So let's rejoice and celebrate, friends, over who we are. And in that word God gave me, he said, listen, just go and look carefully and dig out what it means to be the people of God. And then when you've done that, to celebrate it. So I just want to examine some of the things that set us apart, some of the things that make us a special people, that make us God's own personal possession, or extraordinary, sometimes peculiar, but a very special people. And so I'm just going to go through a whole lot of things. They're not in any particular order, but these are just to encourage us and just to once again remind us and refresh our hearts as to what a prized possession and what an awesome people we are. The first thing is that we rejoice and celebrate because God has gone before us and ensured that all our outcomes lead to victory. Bill said earlier that God has already been to 2017 for us. He's a long way ahead of us. And he's ensured our outcomes. He's gone before us and he's made a way. And we are not defined by the destiny, by our circumstances, by our difficulties. We are defined by the destiny that God has spoken over us as his children. We are defined by his favor over our lives. And that is what assures our success. His favor, his destiny that he has spoken over us. What he has spoken is spoken. What is written and cannot be changed. The outcome that God has planned for us will come to pass. Our success is in who God has already made us to be. We start at the top and not at the bottom. We are not a people who are trying to somehow aspire from the bottom and work ourselves to the top. We are already seated in heavenly places with Jesus. We are already in the highest position. Whatever we do, we cannot top that. But we live our lives from that position, and that is our success. That is our favor. We are very different to the world in that we are not defined by our past or our difficulties and circumstances, nor are we defined by our material possessions or by our achievements. We're simply defined by who we are in our identity as sons of God. Do we believe that we have to join the rat race to succeed by the sweat of our brow, stressing and striving to get to the top, running that hamster wheel? Then I just want to tell you that there's a scripture, Genesis 39, verse 2. And just one line, it says, "And God was with Joseph, and he was a successful man." We know all the things that Joseph went through, all the hardships that he went through. But we know that it is God that raised him up to the highest position, and God who sustained him there in that position because of his favor. There's nothing wrong with having a good work ethic. I always advocate that, and I'm glad that my kids have got a good work ethic. But working and providing for our family is only a small part of who we are. God wants his people to be all-rounders, a well-rounded people that are not just unbalanced and working 18 hours a day and then they have no time for anything else. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, I'm reading from the New Jerusalem Bible, it says this, "If Yahweh does not build a house, in vain do its builders toil. If Yahweh does not guard a city, in vain does its guard keep watch. In vain you get up early and put off going to bed, sweating to make a living, since it is he who provides for his beloved even as they sleep." It is he who provides for his beloved even as they sleep. When we eventually get to the top of the pile, who is going to keep us there if God didn't raise us up and put us there in the first place? Our identity so often gets wrapped up in what we do and what we have. And it's difficult because in seasons when maybe we can't do and we don't have, what happens to our identity? I know, I've been through that. It's a really painful process to separate that from who you really are, because our identity is in who we are, not what we do and all we have. Amen. The next thing is rejoice and celebrate because God has made us competent ministers and priests of the new and everlasting covenant, not of the law, but of the Spirit. Where there is death, we bring life. Where the enemy robs and steals, we freely give because freely we have received. Where there's destruction, we build the ruins in people's lives. We exchange beauty for ashes, gladness for mourning, and praise for despair. We are the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And everlasting joy is our portion, Isaiah 61. And the nations are our inheritance, and the ends of the earth are our possession, Psalm 2, verse 8. We rejoice and celebrate because God has given us the peace of Christ and the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We have power and authority over every unclean spirit that operates in opposition to the Holy Spirit. We can command every fear, every oppression, every guilt, or any other spirit that is opposite to the Holy Spirit to go, and they must go. God has given us freedom, and He wants us to be fully in control of our own lives. It's for freedom's sake that He set us free, not to be enslaved again. When we hanker and chase after things of the world, we become slaves to them. We rejoice and celebrate even in our hardships and our suffering, difficulties, and even in our perceived failures, because God takes every negative thing that the enemy throws at us, and He turns it to our good. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose." And that's you. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. We have never failed unless we fail to go back to Jesus. If you look at Peter versus Judas, we see that Peter, he did some silly stuff, but he went back to Jesus and he wept. And what happened? He ended up leading the church, okay? This is amazing. And we compare it to Judas. Judas despaired and took his life. And as long as Jesus is in the picture of our future, then we will never be hopeless. And sometimes when we look at the tapestry of our lives, which we see from the back, it looks knotted and really untidy. But, you know, one day when God is finished with us, no one will see the back of the tapestry. It gets mounted on glass with a beautiful frame, and you only see the front of the tapestry. We rejoice and celebrate because we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors by the power of Him who loved us. Romans 8, verse 37. I love that song that we started with. And I know for us, a lot of the time, we'd rather park off and just be happy. But that's not good enough for God, because God sequences believer, follower, overcomer. And God has intent to turn us into renowned warriors. His intent is not to always take away the obstacles that are in front of us, but to teach us and train us and equip us to overcome those obstacles. Because when we overcome those obstacles, we are overcomers. And when we are overcomers, we know in Revelations, to Him who overcomes, all the amazing things that God gives: a crown, a pillar in the temple of our God, a stone with a new name, to Him who overcomes. And so we overcome by the power of Him who loved us. Yeah, I think for myself, I'm just trying to figure whether to share this or not, because I don't want to take too much time. But if there's anything that God has done with us, I think, over the last few years, is to show us how we can walk through overwhelmingly difficult circumstances and know that God can sustain us, that we can walk through difficulties that we would never have imagined possible. So overwhelming that you look and you think, how is it possible that I haven't been washed away? How is it possible that I am still here? But I can tell you this, that I never felt that way 5 years ago. I'm stronger now. We are stronger now than we were. And as God takes us and shows us His faithfulness and His goodness and His power, that we are in the palm of His hand, and that no one and nobody and nothing whatsoever can take us out of His hand. No one is powerful enough to take us out of His hand. We are learning that so quickly now. We are learning that every day, that God is keeping us and that no one can take us out of His hand. We celebrate that. So we rejoice and celebrate that we no longer under the law of Moses, but we are under grace in a new and everlasting covenant. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Do we appreciate what it's like living under the law? We have never lived, even when we were unsaved, fully lived under the law. But I can tell you, knowing a number of Muslim people, how hard it is to fully live under the law. And I thank God that we are free, that we are free to receive His, be recipients of His grace, that we have peace in our hearts, that we are a people who are truly free. We rejoice and celebrate because we have been given a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews 12, verse 28. My hope is built on nothing less. Have you heard that song? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All else is sinking sand. Dare I sing that verse? I'm going to sing this verse. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All else is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All else is sinking sand. Is sinking sand. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the solid rock on which we stand. The kingdoms of this world are passing away. We can see them crumbling before our very eyes. Why do we set store by them? They will fall and they will become the kingdoms of our God. They will fall and they will become the kingdoms of our God. They are brought down to their knees and fall. But we will rise up and stand firm. Psalm 20, verse 8. We rejoice and celebrate because our names are written in heaven. Luke 10, verse 20. Jesus said, don't just celebrate because you've got power and authority over the demons and over the evil realm. Celebrate because your names are written in heaven. We celebrate our salvation. We celebrate the finished work of the cross. We celebrate that we are ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. That the blood of Jesus daily is a waterfall that just flows over us, cleansing, restoring, mercy, goodness, love, favor, the waterfall of His blood, protection, goodness. Surely goodness and mercy follow us. Surely goodness and mercy every day of our lives. We thank God that we are saved. What does it mean to us? Or rather to a person who doesn't know they're saved. I have a friend who who is a believer who believes, but has such a fear of death. They have such a fear of death. They don't know where they're going. And as much as you try and convince them and say, of course, we'll all be in heaven together. Of course, you believe in Jesus. There's a fear of death. And we thank God that we know exactly where we're going. There's no fear. There's only joy. And we rejoice and celebrate because we are the people of God. We're a prophetic, futuristic, extraordinary people belonging to God, ever changing, ever being transformed by the Holy Spirit, becoming the future, being transformed into the likeness of Christ. We're on a journey, a pilgrimage that leads us home to glory, to our eternal family, to the communion of saints, to the city of our God, and to the heavenly Jerusalem. Let's go to Hebrews 12, verse 22. From verse 22. I'm basically going to end on the scripture because I want to leave as much space for worship. And that's why I preached first and shared first, because I just wanted to set a platform for celebration. That we begin this year celebrating our God. We start celebrating and we finish our year celebrating God. So I just want to read from Hebrews 22. But you have come to a mountain, to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Let's go to 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God. For our God is a consuming fire. And so our friends, I want to end this preach with this scripture. I want to encourage you. And I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Always. Philippians 4, verse 4. So friends, I hope that's been sufficient reason for you to celebrate and rejoice who you are today as a people of God. To celebrate our God and His goodness in our lives. And so, I just want to hand over to the worship team now and to come and lead us in worship. And let's just celebrate and rejoice our God and the fact that we are His people with all our hearts.
I have a prophetic word that I had stirring up in my heart, and I felt to share it, but I'd just like to invite the offering team to come up and just do the collection while I share the word. Then I'll just share the word while that everyone's just they're doing the collection. Yeah, in the same time, I'd just like to just invite any visitors. Do we have any visitors in the house this morning? Oh, wonderful. Welcome. Lovely to have you guys here. Wonderful. Just like to invite you to just join us in the visitors' lounge afterwards for a free cappuccino and just connect with some of the people. Okay, wonderful. Okay, Lord, we just thank you for your abundance in this house, Father. We just thank you, Lord, because of every promise that you've given us, Father. There's just more than enough just flowing back into our laps today, Father. Just thank you, Lord, that you bless every person in this house, Lord. Just thank you for more than enough, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, thank you, guys. Yeah, my word I had stirring up in my heart while Terry was preaching is hanker after me. Hanker after me, my children, and I will make your paths straight. Seek first my kingdom. Put my kingdom first. Then all these other things will be added unto you. Set your eyes on me, and I will give you strategic vision. I felt the Lord saying, for 2016 is going to be a year of strategic vision. He's going to give you a vision for the year ahead. And as he does that, he's going to give you strategy on how to accomplish those things that he's called you to accomplish in this year, that you will find that your paths will straighten as you step out and do those things. He says, I have made you an overcomer. My love never fails. My love never fails. My love has never failed you, and it never will. So, Lord, we just thank you that your love never fails. And because your love never fails, Father God, you have made us overcomers, overcomers in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything to accomplish all that you have set out for us for 2016. We thank you, Father, that you have given us every promise in your word that we can hold fast to. We thank you, Father God, that as we step out into 2016 and we take a hold of all that you have for us, Father God, we know that we are overcomers in Christ. Oh, Father, so we will hanker after you. Father, we will seek first your kingdom. Father, we will set our eyes on you. We'll set our eyes on you, Jesus. And thank you that as we set our eyes on you, we will have strategic vision for this year ahead. Thank you, Father, that we can be excited for all that you have in store for us for 2016 because we are overcomers in Christ. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You're so faithful. Your love never fails, Father. Your love never fails. Okay, so